Tonight, Mr. Francho Tone stars in The Kimbles from Studio One at CBS.
I came back to this place because I had such a good time here when I was a kid. Funny, it's as though there'd been something good here that I'd once wanted to take along with me. Something that I'd left behind and missed.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great stories, novels, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
The past is always with us, and when we say farewell to a time or a place, we know always that in some other time, in some other place, we will want to return again. We remember a certain season, or the shape of a face, or a house, or a stuffed brown bear on wheels named Bango, and there is often a longing to go back. Tonight our story is about Steve LaFarge, a young man who did go back. A man who returned to a time and place of the past, which became, strangely, the present. How this return affected his future is told in our version for listening of The Kimbles, a new novel by Mitchell Wilson. And at the head of our cast in Studio One tonight, playing Steve LaFarge, we have with us one of the most original talents to be found among the citizens of Hollywood and Broadway. One of my most favorite performers, and I'm sure one of yours, Mr. Francho Tone. With Mr. Tone, you'll be hearing Mercedes McCambridge as Anne and Everett Sloan as Bennett, the last of the Kimbles. Please to begin. As I walked through the village, I heard the faraway whistle of the train that had brought me back to Dolson's Point. It had been 12 years since I'd lived here, back in those bright days when my parents were alive. At the edge of the village, I came to the small house which had been our home. Strangers were living here now. I did not stop there, but went on among the homes which led to the estate next door. 12 years ago, the wall around it had seemed enormously high. Now I found it level with my shoulders. Through a gap in the trees, I could see the sweep of lawn which stretched from the great house down to the sunny waters of the bay. When I came to the grilled iron gate, I pushed it open and went in.
Are you looking for someone?
Oh, Mrs. Kimball?
I'm Mrs. Kimball's daughter.
Oh, I should have known. You were only 8 or 9 the last time I saw you, but you look very much like your mother.
My mother's been dead for a long time.
Oh, I'm sorry. To me, she was the most beautiful woman in the world. I still remember the way she laughed. I'm Steve LaFarge. You remember me?
Steve LaFarge?
I don't think you do. My family moved away from Dolson's Point the week after you took this estate, when you moved down here from the ridge.
I noticed you walking around. Are you coming back here to Dolson's Point?
No, I just felt like seeing this place again.
Why?
Because I had such a good time here when I was a kid. I wanted to take another look after all these years, the war and everything.
Uh-huh.
This estate was deserted for a long time before you came here, you know. And I used to play in these grounds. It was my wonderland where all the adventures I read about came true. My parents were rather poor. This place was mine. Now, it's as though there'd been something good here that I once wanted to take along with me. Something that I'd left behind and missed.
There are good memories.
Don't you have any?
Everyone has good memories.
About this place?
About any place.
You know that little cove at the edge of the bay?
Uh-huh.
One day I took a stick and wrote in the sand, "I hereby discover this place, and in the name of Herbert Hoover, claim it for the United States of America." Steve LaFarge. It's good to be here again.
That's Dad playing the piano.
I remember him, but I don't think he'd remember me. Colonel Kimball was a hero to all the boys in Dolson's Point. He used to organize games for us.
I don't know why he plays. He doesn't particularly like music.
Is the piano in that big living room?
Have you ever been in Saul's?
Well, when it was empty, I used to break in. Before you moved here.
Would you like to see it now?
I'd like nothing better.
Well, along then.
It seems I walked along this path just yesterday. Didn't there used to be a sort of pavilion over in that grove of trees?
Yes.
I remember it well. A circle of white columns, spaced several feet apart, and joined at the top by a rim of marble.
It was torn down a long time ago. We had an accident there. Neither my father nor I wanted it anymore. Here we are.
Yes? What can I do for you? If you have any business with me, there is no need to bother my daughter.
This is Steve LaFarge, Dad. He used to live down here.
Oh, of course, LaFarge. I'm sorry, but I didn't know who you were. I thought... Well, how are you, my boy?
Fine, thank you.
How long are you going to be here?
Oh, just today. You see, I used to know this house very well when I was a boy, before you came.
Well, the place has changed, as you see.
Well, to me, the place hasn't changed at all. I still see it the way I used to. Perhaps I don't really see as it is.
Well, probably not. But I'm glad to see you boys come back as young men. If you like Dolson's Point well enough, perhaps you'll reopen your house.
My house? Which house?
LaFarge, Dad. LaFarge is his name.
Where did you used to live?
Down the bay.
Where?
Near the lumber yard. My father used to be a hand there.
Oh, of course. Anne, suppose you show Mr. LaFarge around if there's anything else that he cares to see. After that, I'd like to talk to you. Now you must excuse me. Goodbye.
I think he expects you to take me around to the kitchen, give me a glass of milk and a cookie.
No, please, he didn't mean that at all. It's just Dad's manner.
Well, it was very nice to see the house again. Goodbye.
Please don't go.
I'm afraid I have to. And I'm sorry about the crack I made. It's just that he wasn't exactly what I'd expected. Or else he's changed a good deal.
We've all changed here since my mother died. Please stay.
You sound as if you really mean it.
I do. Really, I do. Tell me what you like. Where would you like to go?
Well, more than anything, I'd like to go over to the marshes. Is there a boat around?
We have a small sloop with a centerboard, but I haven't been over there in years. Those marshes are so lonely. So empty.
That's why I want to go. It's like being in the middle of nowhere. You can imagine that anything will happen.
All right, then let's go. What were you looking for when you came down here, Steve LaFarge? What do you want from life?
I'll settle for just being happy.
Is that all? It's only asking for the moon.
Oh, I don't think it's as bad as that. You make up your mind the way you want to live, and then you go ahead and try to do it.
You have to know what you want, I suppose.
Yes. That's one reason I'm here, to find the things that made me the kind of person I used to be. Then I'll be happy.
You keep using the word happy. You never know you're happy until it's all over. And then you can't recapture it.
I think I found it down here again. It's been a wonderful day.
Then will you come again? Some weekend?
Fine.
What about this one? Can you stay?
There's your father on the pier.
Won't you stay over?
I can't. I said your father's waiting for you. You'd better wave to him so he'll know you're all right.
There's no need to wave. He knows I'm all right. He's been standing there ever since we left. With his field glasses.
Hello, darling. Dressing for dinner?
Yes, Dad.
He's gone, hasn't he?
Yes.
How was the afternoon?
Very nice. Would you move back a little, Dad? You're in my light. I can't see to comb my hair.
I suppose you're angry with me.
There's no point in being angry.
I just didn't like him. I thought he was pushing.
He wasn't pushing. I was the one who asked him in.
Really? What did you do with him?
You know that. Went over to the marshes.
Did your friend enjoy himself?
We both did.
I'm sure he did. At any rate, it's all over.
Not exactly. I'm going to ask him down for next weekend.
Anne, you're joking.
I'm not.
You like him?
He seems very pleasant. I think I like him very much.
But?
But nothing. I like him very much.
No.
Very well, then, no.
Seriously, isn't he rather dull?
Not at all dull.
Then he's probably good-looking. I didn't notice, is he?
Steve's quite attractive, I think.
Well, it's not worth talking about. You can have him down if that seems to be very important. Just as long as you don't get hurt. Your mother's mistake.
Please, Dad, Mother has nothing to do with it.
She has everything to do with it. You remember how she was.
I remember her as bright and warm and full of love.
But you found out later how false that had been, didn't you?
Why must we go over and over something that's so painful?
It's much harder for me, you know.
Then I don't see why you have to bring it up.
Because, Anne, you must watch yourself constantly. You must always keep the memory of what your mother was clear in your mind.
It never leaves my mind. But please, Dad, I can take care of myself.
We'll see about that.
There's not as much wind today as last week, Steve.
I like it better this way.
Uh-huh.
Here, hold on to the end of this line.
Why?
Well, I'll hold on to this end, and then we'll be in touch with each other.
All right.
I like feeling I have a contact with you.
So do I.
You know, I didn't think you'd ever write to me.
I said I would.
I still didn't believe it.
Didn't you think I meant the invitation?
I thought you'd change your mind after talking things over with your father.
Why should my father object?
You can't say that he likes the idea. I'm not blind.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about your father. And it's not that he doesn't like me because I'm me. As soon as I walked into the house last week, even before he knew my name, he didn't like me.
Nevertheless, he also asked you to stay.
That's very true. But it wasn't because he liked me.
Well, you're making it much too complicated.
Well, put that line back in your hand. I need it there.
It's in my way.
Anne, don't withdraw from me like this. Because I'm sorry.
Please, Steve. Let's go back. It's getting late. Father's mixing cocktails. He'll be right in.
Oh. Say, that's a lovely dress.
Thank you.
I've only seen you in slacks until now. You know, I hardly recognized you.
Thank you. Assuming that it's a compliment.
It was a compliment.
Are you punishing me?
Oh, you went away while we were sailing. I'm punishing the person that was left behind.
There's no difference between us.
That's too bad. I was hoping there was.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
May I offer you a cocktail?
Thank you.
I hope you like the way I mix them.
I'm sure I will.
Dad prides himself on his ability as a bartender.
Bartender is a rather crude way of putting it. Well, to your weekend in Dolson's Point, Mr. Lafarge, may it afford you many pleasant memories for the future.
Yes, Steve. Oh,
thank you.
Anne tells me you're an architect.
Yes, with Colby and Wright.
Yes, I know the firm well. They're very good.
Adequate. That painting behind you, the two soldiers.
Yes?
Is that you on the left?
Yes.
I was thinking how much the uniforms have changed since 1918.
Yes, you're quite right. They seemed so modern then. Now they look as though they belong in a museum. But everything changes, I suppose. Do you like sailing?
You were only a lieutenant then?
That was before I went overseas.
And the other fellow?
The other fellow? The other fellow didn't come back. He was Mrs. Kimball's first husband.
More coffee, Steve?
No, thank you, Anne.
Why don't we all go for a drive?
Do you mind if I don't? I'd prefer staying here.
Well, I'd better change into a suit. It's getting cool. Dad, Do take Steve out on the terrace.
All right. Shall we go out?
Fine.
Cigar?
Thank you. I'm smoking a cigarette.
Oh, I didn't notice. After you.
Thanks. Nice evening.
Yes. What are your plans now that you're out of the army?
Well, I've gone back to my job.
Just as if nothing had happened?
It'd be silly to pretend that.
Yes, you're right. I remember the way I felt. It was a letdown that had no bottom. You keep hoping that you'll reach it, but there's no floor except what you build for yourself.
Then what happens?
It's torture. Unless you make up your mind that that's the best life has to offer and make the most of it. If I were to talk to you about disappointments, you'd see. There's my wife and even my daughter. Would you care for a cigar now?
No, thanks.
You said this place held many pleasant memories for you.
There's a boy I played here constantly when the house was empty. I peopled it with fictional characters. I was a Knight of the Round Table or Robin Hood. The last day I was here, I cut my small boat loose and let it drift out to sea. I was romantic. I even gave the archer's last salute. Shot my one good arrow straight into the sky. Perhaps you can't understand the feeling I had, but... Something wrong? Did I say something?
No. Don't you think so?
Well, you look quite startled for a moment.
Did I? Anne will be down shortly. Would you excuse me now?
Of course.
Well, here we are.
Don't get out of the car yet. Anne.
Yes?
Anne, look at me. And, darling.
Steve.
I love the scent of your hair. It's so soft. Now, please don't pull away. I've been wanting to kiss you all evening.
Steve. No.
Anne, what is it?
Nothing.
Anne, listen, don't walk away.
Oh, Steve.
No. What is it?
I don't know. I just... can't get a grip on myself, no matter what I try to think.
I don't understand. What are you fighting?
Myself.
Are you sorry I kissed you? You wanted me to, didn't you?
Yes. It's just that I'm afraid. I suppose I'm being foolish.
I don't understand.
I know it doesn't make sense. I want to be with you. And yet all the time there's the urge to run away. When you've been afraid of any kind of emotional involvement as long as I have, it's hard to take a chance. You build your entire life on an emotion. You center everything on one person, and then suddenly, by the craziest kind of accident, the person you love dies. And then you're left with nothing. Absolutely nothing. Look at my father.
You mean all your confusion, all your refusal of emotion is just because your mother died? But that's like wanting to go without food all your life for fear someday you might not be able to get it when you want it. And your father has no complaint. At least he had your mother while she was alive.
That's just it. He didn't have her. My mother never really loved anybody in her life.
I can't believe that.
Oh, she fooled everybody, even me. I didn't know the truth about her for a long time. Do you remember Jeff Hudson?
The school principal?
Yes. She was planning to run away with him when she was killed.
But that has nothing to do with you. You are what you feel. You see for yourself what's the right thing to do, and if you don't do it, you'd be throwing away so much.
I'm trying to think there won't be another arrow.
Arrow? What arrow?
Nothing. Forget it.
What arrow?
I thought you knew. I thought everybody knew. I suppose that's just because I remember it so well. I even remember the day it happened. It was the 12th of June.
What happened?
My mother. was sunbathing in that pavilion you spoke about. When they found her, she'd been dead for over an hour with an arrow in her chest. The kind of an arrow a boy would make, you know. A stick with a nail for a head. No one ever discovered who the boy was.
An arrow with a nail for a head.
I didn't see it. That's what they told me.
Anne. No.
Why? Shouldn't I have told you?
Oh, it was an accident.
But that's all life is, isn't it? Steve, what's the matter?
Nothing?
No, something's happened.
Anne?
Oh, I've talked too much. I made the whole thing more serious than it really was. After all, you didn't mean that there was anything between us. And here I am forcing responsibility on you.
Anne, please.
No, don't worry, Steve. I didn't mean to throw myself at you. I'm going in. Good night.
Yes, who? What do you want?
I want to talk to you.
There's nothing to say.
There's a great deal to say. I know now why your attitude changed so suddenly this evening on the terrace. I just found out.
Does Anne know?
Good heavens, no.
Well, what do you intend to do about it?
There's nothing I can do. It was an accident. How do you expect me to feel?
Accident? I could feel that way only as long as I didn't know who had caused it. Now that I know you were responsible, things have changed.
I don't see the difference.
You don't feel it?
What I feel is beside the point. I came in here to tell you how very sorry I am.
Don't bother. Just go.
Look, put yourself in my place. Suppose you had shot an arrow as a kid that, without your knowledge, accidentally killed...
I asked you to go.
No, sir. Not until I say what I came to say. Not until I can make you change your mind.
What are you going to change? Are you going to change the fact that every time I see my dead wife? Are you going to change the fact that every time I see you, I remember how I felt about her? Are you going to change the way she felt about me or the kind of woman she was? What is this stupid talk about change? Change a lifetime and you change my mind?
I know how you feel. I'd feel the same in your place.
Look, it's very simple. Was that your arrow?
Yes.
And you shot it?
Yes.
Then you killed her. I don't care what the law says about intent or accident. All I know is if you hadn't shot that arrow, she wouldn't be dead. That's the way I feel. And that's the way Anne will feel when I tell her.
Then I want to ask just one thing. I want to stay until tomorrow, as we planned. Then you can tell her. You can tell her anything you want after that. I won't come back. I won't even write to her.
You won't come back? And you won't try to get in touch with her later?
No.
All right. You can stay. But keep out of my sight.
We're a little early. None of the commuters has come to the station yet.
You don't have to wait, Anne. The train will come along pretty soon.
I don't mind.
Anne, I want you to know that if I've acted cold and strained, it has nothing to do with you. It isn't as if I wanted to hurt you or that I didn't want to be with you.
Please,
No, wait. There isn't much time left. You ought to know how I feel about you.
I think I know.
No, you don't. Not if you say it that way. It's just terribly hard for me to tell you.
Why?
Because of something I didn't even know about. There were times when it was on the tip of my tongue, and there were times when I couldn't even look at you. I was afraid you'd find out. And I still don't know how you'll take it.
Well, what is it? How terrible can it be?
I shot the arrow that killed your mother.
No. No, Steve.
There's no mistake. I found out when I was talking with you last night. Your father knows. It's true, all right.
How terrible for you.
And for you?
I don't know. I can't even think. It was all such a long time ago. It shouldn't make any difference. But I'm still mixed up.
I'm afraid to tell you because I could see how much she must have meant to you.
You're wrong there, Steve.
What do you mean?
I told you about my mother. She was planning to run away with Jeff Hudson. She was going to leave me behind. I even saw some of his letters to her. But whether she died or not, I would have lost her. No, that's not the point.
But it's part of it, or you wouldn't be so confused.
As long as she was alive, I never doubted that I was the most important person in her life. I was very much closer to her than my father. I even used to think that he was some kind of monster. And I understood her wanting to leave him. What hurt most was when I found out later that she'd put me in his class by planning to leave me behind with him, even though she knew how I felt. Steve, are you positive?
I'm positive. It just can't work out for us, that's what you're saying. In the back of my mind, I kept hoping that we'd find a way to get around it, but we can't.
Steve, don't get on that train. Don't leave me now. Please stay with me.
Anne.
If you go, we won't see each other again.
What about your father?
It's for him, too, Steve. He's had a rotten time of it, but he'll help us, I know, if he's sure it's what I want, and I do. Don't you want to stay?
More than anything. I'm just afraid that one of these days I'll catch you looking at me in a way that will
show... Why should I? It wasn't your fault, Steve. It was an accident.
This is nothing you can promise. How can you tell what you'll feel
Steve,
tomorrow?
Steve, please don't go. Let's not even wait here for the train to pull out. It frightens me just to stay here.
Now it's all right, darling. I'm not going. I won't leave you, no matter what happens.
From Studio One, radio celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're hearing Mr. Francho Tone, starring in The Kimballs, a version for listening by Agnes Eckhart of the Mitchell Wilson novel. Studio One will resume after customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Mr. Francho Tone stars in Fletcher Markle's production of The Kimballs by Mitchell Wilson.
Talk to you.
Well, what is it, Anne?
It's about Steve.
Oh, yes. He's finally gone, I suppose.
No, Dad, he hasn't gone. And he's not going, either.
What do you mean? Exactly what do you mean?
That's what we have to talk about.
He's already told you?
Yes, a little while ago.
He lied to me. He's trying to make a fool of me.
Carl.
He told me last night that if I said nothing to you, he'd go away and not come back.
You were doing this to protect me, weren't you?
Well, of course. What other reason could there be?
Then there's no point in being angry. It wasn't a lie. And since Mother's death was an accident, there's no reason to blame Steve.
Just an accident.
We know that it was.
And you feel nothing for him except that it was too bad he had to be involved?
If I'd never met Steve, I wouldn't want to see him or even hear about him. But it just happened that I did meet him. And I like him.
Like him. A delicate way to put it.
All right, then. Say I'm attracted to him. Maybe I'm in love with him.
Love? Doesn't the mere saying of the word make you feel ridiculous? Tell me. Tell me, I'm curious. How does it feel? The second time in my life this has happened. First your mother and now you. Perhaps you can explain it to me, make me understand.
For the first time in my life, I'm in love, and I'm not ashamed of it, Dad, or of anything I feel. And I want him to want me, too. That doesn't seem ridiculous to me.
There's nothing I can say to you, Anne. We're not even speaking the same language. Why isn't he here? Couldn't he face me?
I didn't want him to come. It's not his place to talk to you about this. I'd resent it, and so would you. And in spite of what you say about our not speaking the same language, you and I are still closer to each other than we are to anybody else.
Are we? And how can you do a thing like this?
Dad, this isn't something I'm doing.
I can't stand the sight of him, Anne.
Well, if you'd be reasonable about it...
Reasonable? If we're talking about reason, I think you're the one who'd better come to her senses. Why are you trying to force this? Deep down inside, you must feel the same way I do.
I don't.
Wasn't your first feeling one of revulsion? You feel revulsion, don't you?
If I do, then I'm wrong.
But you do. Somewhere inside you, you hate him. Why deny it?
Dad, don't.
I'll show you how you feel. Let him stay, not in this house, but somewhere around in Dolson's Point. And within 2 weeks, you'll find you loathing each other.
All right, I'll find a place for him to stay. And I'll prove to you that you're wrong.
We'll see, my dear. We'll see.
Wasn't any good, was it, Anne?
No, we had rather a scene, Steve. Oh, darling, are we wrong to feel the way we do? Have we talked ourselves into something that's unnatural?
Is that what he said?
More or less.
Well, it's understandable. He was terribly in love with your mother.
In his own way, he was never really happy with
her. And I bring it all back to him. Oh, listen, Anne, let's not try to ride roughshod over him. Let me take a room somewhere here in town. That way your father won't feel we're crowding him.
Yes, that's what I thought. Steve, kiss me.
Darling. We'll be all right, Anne. Don't worry. After a time, we'll get to the point where we can talk about things easily.
What's there to talk about?
Your mother?
No.
Don't you understand, darling? Until we can talk about her openly, we won't ever feel completely at ease with one another.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
There are so many things I want you to tell me about her.
Like what?
Everything, from the beginning. Even about her first husband. Why does your father have that picture of him in the dining room?
They were friends. They met in the army. Dad introduced Sam Buchanan to Mother.
Buchanan? Buchanan? There's a fellow here in Dolson's Point.
Yes, Gus Buchanan. He has the garage. He's Sam's brother. Oh, no, please. I can't talk just yet, Steve. Not for a while.
All right, darling. I'm sorry. I'll wait.
We better look for a room for you now.
Anne, would you mind if I looked for a place alone?
Well, no.
I'll drop you at the house and borrow the car for a while if I may.
Of course, darling, but what?
I just want to get out by myself for a couple of hours. Come along, I'll take you home.
Yep, fetch it for you.
Will you check the oil, please?
Aye, sure. Well, she's full.
Well, I want the oil changed.
Oh, it's clean.
Well, I don't like it.
What do you like?
I want that oil over there in the rack. Make it medium.
All right, if you say so.
You don't remember me, Mr. Buchanan.
Why, sure I do. You're Steve Lafarge. You used to hang around here as a kid. You look the same. Why shouldn't I remember you?
Because you didn't say anything about it.
Well, what'd you expect me to do? Want me to kiss you? Where you been?
Overseas. You know, there was a major over there who pricked his ears when I said I came from Dolson's Point. He said he knew someone in the last war named Buchanan from Dolson's Point, but the description didn't fit you.
It wasn't me.
I told him he was wrong. I never heard that you had any relatives.
Must have meant my brother. I used to have a kid brother. His name was Sam.
Well, I don't remember him.
Got killed. He was a nice kid, nice boy. Used to miss him like all... Did you say medium?
Medium.
That's what I thought.
Where was your brother when he got it?
In the Argonne.
Was he married?
Yeah. married before he went overseas. Married to a cheap, low dame. If anybody killed him, she did.
Well, how's that?
Got into the army in 17 before the draft, got sent to officer school. Only had 3 years of high school. All the other boys been to college. He was smart, that boy. He'd have done something with this place. Paid for me.
But about his wife?
Oh, she was real society. But she was cheap. Sam didn't find out about her until he went to France.
Oh.
That's what killed him, when he found out.
How do you know all this?
From Sam's letters. He wrote me the whole story.
Well, how did he find out about his wife? Somebody tell him?
That's the funny part of it. The guy who told him about her, he turned around after the war and married her himself. Figure out that one.
You mean Kimball was the one who told him? Kimball?
Sure it was Kimball. Who else? Hey, how did you know it was Kimball? I didn't say his name.
Well, I remember hearing that Kimball and your brother were friends in the army.
Yeah? What are you after, Lafarge? Nobody around here knew about Kimball and my brother. I never even spoke to the woman, even if she was my sister-in-law. What are you after?
I've got what I was after, thanks. What do I owe you?
$2.10. I'll put a sticker inside your door. Tell you when to get a change next.
Thank you. You've been very helpful.
Steve Lafarge.
Miss Horn, I suppose I shouldn't bother you during school hours.
Oh, that's quite all right. Class will be over in 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it when they sent in word that Steve Lafarge was here. Heard you were staying at the Kimballs.
No, I've got a place for myself now.
Oh, it's good to see you, Steve.
And you. Hey, Miss Horn, I...
Well, what's troubling you? I know this is more than a social visit to your old history teacher.
Yes, it is. There are some questions I want to ask you. You're the only person who knows everybody.
Well,
first of all, what kind of woman was Connie Kimball?
She was, well, a rather sweet, naive woman.
In what way?
In every way. Connie Kimball was one of the most conventional women out here. She had tremendous charm, a vitality you couldn't resist, but it was all within the accepted social framework.
Then what does that framework include?
What do you mean?
Well, for example, was there ever any scandal about her?
Well, there was a story near the end, but I never paid any attention to it because she just wasn't the type, that's all. You know, it's character that really counts, and people seldom step out of character. Why are you so interested?
Oh, I'm just curious. I remember her very well.
Anne looks very like her mother, doesn't she?
Yes. Yes, she does.
Yes, Dad?
Were you using the Roadster?
Yes, of course. What is it?
Did you go to Buchanan's garage?
No, I didn't.
Who did?
No one. We never go there for anything.
Well, that's very funny. There's a sticker inside the door. Did you ever lend the car to that what's his name?
His name is Steve Lafarge, Dad.
Answer my question!
Yes, I did lend it to him day before yesterday when he was looking for a room.
Oh. Anne. Come into the music room, darling. Let's talk this over without getting excited.
All right. Dad, what...
It's all right, my dear.
As long as we don't have to argue. That makes it so hard.
Yes, I know, dear. I hate it more than you do. Because you're all I have. Sit here at the piano, next to me.
Are we going to talk or are we going to play?
We can do both.
What do you want to talk about?
Anne, it can't last much longer, you know.
Why do you say that?
Because you've been having a hard time. I can see that.
It isn't easy. It's not easy for Steve. And it's pretty wearing all around. But that doesn't mean...
You're getting tired of the whole thing, aren't you? You're beginning to see what I meant.
He embarrasses you.
Dad, I can't understand your attitude about Steve. Under other circumstances, I might. But since Mother was all set to leave you if she hadn't died...
How dare you talk to me that way? How dare you?
Steve, I had to you.
What's the matter? Come in.
Oh, it's hopeless. Steve, we've been kidding ourselves.
Tell me, what happened?
Well, at first he acted as though we could have a sane and understanding discussion. And I thought he meant it. But you can't discuss this with him anymore.
Yes. Oh, if only there were some way to bring your mother back.
There'd be no point in that. Who'd want her back? She didn't want us.
But you were so very fond of her.
What's that got to do with it? I told you she was in love with Jeff Hudson. If she hadn't died, she would have run off with him. No, don't feel so badly that you deprived me of my mother.
Just the same, Anne, you cared about her. Anyone can see that. It's in your face every time you speak of her.
That's not true.
I saw it the first time I spoke to you, when I for a moment that you were she. You were pleased that I saw the resemblance.
My mother was a very attractive woman.
No, it's more than that. You knew she was planning to desert you?
Father told me later.
You didn't know until then?
No, that's what started this whole thing at home just now. I reminded Dad of it.
I swear I don't understand it. I've been thinking about him, and I can't see your father as the kind of man who'd suffer grief all these years. I'm sorry, but he's out of character.
That's where you're wrong, Steve. It was cruel of me to throw his failure in his face.
He didn't mind telling you when you were just a kid that your mother had been planning to desert you. That scene couldn't have been a party for you.
But that was different. Right now, darling, let's talk about what we're going to do.
Anne, we won't settle this by going away. Let's not kid ourselves. You're not coming away with me because you love me. You're doing it to punish your father.
Forget my father.
How can I when you can't? Look, darling, this is getting us no place. Let's go out to dinner and talk later.
I guess you're right. Steve, come here to the window.
What is it?
It's Dad. He's waiting downstairs, sitting in the roadster.
All right. We'd better go down and face him.
Dinner's waiting at home.
I'm having dinner with Steve, Dad.
I want you to come home with me.
Steve, what shall I do?
It's up to you.
I'll go home, but you come along with us.
No, go along with it by yourself, Anne. It'll be best.
All right. Call me in an hour and a half.
I'm sorry I struck you, my dear.
Forget it, Dad.
I don't know why I did it. A long time ago, when your mother was alive, I used to tell myself that I could make her behave if I were to strike her just once. I got so I would pray for the strength to hurt her. But I never did. I would always stop with just my fist clenched. Maybe that's why I hit you. I'm sorry. Is it all right now?
What about Steve?
I'll try, Anne. I'll do my best.
Dad, do you mean that?
Yes, I do.
Not like before. This time you're serious?
Yes, Anne.
No more trouble?
No.
Dad, this is important to me. You've got to help Steve and me. You can see that I'm in love with him, can't you?
Certainly, I can see.
And I can ask him to come to the house?
All right.
It wasn't his fault. Is that understood?
All right.
Oh, Dad, I'm happy. For the first time in so long. I know, we'll have a party. A lot of people, and it'll be just as if nothing had happened. It's going to work out, isn't it, Dad?
Oh, yes. Of course it is.
Well, what's the matter with you, Bennett Kimball?
Oh, hello, Martha. Get you a drink?
I have one.
Oh.
Now, repeat, what's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing at all. I just want everything to come off nicely.
Oh, don't tell me that. It's a lovely party.
Is it?
But you're so nervous.
Well, I'm not much of a host.
Is it that boy?
Lafarge?
Yes, Lafarge.
Why should he make me nervous?
Why, indeed.
Now, look here, Martha.
Now, look here, my eye. It's obvious they're in love with each other, and it's time you learn that the heavy father always looks like a fool.
Well, if I'm such a fool, why bother to talk to me?
So that you'll stop being a fool. He makes Anne happy.
He can't.
But Bennett.
Now, look, Martha. Don't talk about things you don't understand. You just don't understand.
Sounds to me as if he's making her very happy.
I tell you, he can't. You don't understand.
If I don't understand, it shouldn't be difficult to explain to me. Why not tell me the trouble?
As a matter of fact, I think I shall.
What did you say? Are you sure?
How terrible.
Can I turn around now?
Talk about something else. He's coming this way.
Who told
you? I feel absolutely sick.
Do the Eckharts know yet?
Let's go, John. I don't think I can stay here another minute. Poor Anne.
Steve, what's happened? Everybody seems so peculiar.
Let's take a walk in the garden, Anne.
Oh, we can. What's happened, Steve? Why are they all looking at us?
I think they know about me.
What? How could they know?
I'm not sure.
But you didn't say anything.
No, but I saw Martha Horn's face after she spoke to your father. She looked as though he'd hit her with a 2x4. Now, what do you think he said that could have had such an effect on her?
My father? Well, that's not possible. He couldn't have... Dad!
Yes? Yes, Anne.
Dad, what's happened?
I don't know what you mean.
What did you say to Martha?
Nothing.
I'm sick of that answer. You told her about Steve. Don't deny it.
Yes, I did. Why shouldn't I? Are you ashamed? I thought it was to make no difference.
How could you do it?
Everyone's looking at you.
Let them look. They see you, too.
I'm sure they do. It might do you some good to hear what they have to say.
Well, everybody's gone.
The party's over.
I'll drive you home, Steve.
Well, there's no need. I can walk.
Please, let me drive you. Then we can have dinner.
Why prolong it, Anne? It's over and you know it.
It deserves to be prolonged a little.
If it's over, let it be over, here and now. It's just not in the cards, Anne, that's all.
Steve.
I'll go away as I should have done in the beginning. But I love you, Anne. I'll always feel that way about you. Always.
Dad, I must talk to you. Look at me.
I'm looking at you.
You did this deliberately.
If you mean that I knew what I was saying when I told Martha about Steve, you're quite right. Why shouldn't I speak to Martha about something that's so important to me? I wanted her advice.
And you picked a garden party as the proper time. You knew the effect it would have.
I admit that I wasn't surprised. Frankly, I was relieved that everyone had the same reaction that I did. I was beginning to doubt that I was right. If I had been wrong, I would have been only too glad to know about it. Anyway, people had to know sooner or later.
You did it to hurt me. And you succeeded.
You and I made a bargain, my dear, and I lived up to my part of it. You've no cause to be angry with me for the way other people act. It's not my fault.
What right did you have to tell them? I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Anne, dear. Sarah Hollingsworth.
Yes, Mrs. Hollingsworth, how are you?
Don't worry about me, my dear. You're the one. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm sorry I wasn't able to be there this afternoon. I've just called to tell you that you have all my sympathy. I just this minute heard the ghastly news about what happened at your party.
What news? I don't know what you're talking about.
About that horrible young man. At least half a dozen people overheard what your father said to Martha Horne.
But Mrs. Hollingsworth...
Don't worry, my dear. If I pick to sit on his jury, I'll know...
Jury? I think you'd better explain.
I'm sure I don't know what there is to explain, child. Every one of us has called Chief Wharton to tell him what we think and that we won't stand that man's presence in this town for another moment.
Chief Wharton? You've called Chief Wharton?
Coming. Miss Lafarge.
Why, Chief Wharton, hello there.
You remember me?
Everybody knows the chief of police.
I guess that's right.
Well?
May I sit down?
Yes, sit down, of course.
Thank you. I'd better start by telling you what I should have told you 12 years ago.
Yes?
I made a thorough investigation of this case within 6 months after Mrs. Kimball died. I was almost certain that you were the one who was responsible. Circumstantial evidence pointed straight to you. Nevertheless, I had to check everything else. Only no one had any reason anymore to want the woman dead.
Anymore? What do you mean?
I mean that she had agreed to remain with her husband on his terms. Not go off with Hudson. Yeah, but I suppose you didn't know about that.
I know that she was involved in some way with Hudson.
And she'd agreed to give up Hudson and stay with her husband.
How could Kimball make his wife stay with him?
Kimball was within his rights. He refused to allow her to take the child. He said that if she deserted him, he'd sue for divorce and get custody of the child so that the mother wouldn't see her again. And he had the law on his side.
What makes you think that she and Hudson wanted the child at all?
I know they did. I spoke to Hudson. He even showed me letters from Mrs. Kimball. She loved her daughter, planned to take her with her. In fact, she was so attached to the child that the threat of losing her forced Mrs. Kimball to give up the whole thing.
You think that's true?
Well, the records are still at City Hall. I have both Mrs. Kimball's and Hudson's letters on file. But getting back to my original point, there was no reason to mix up a child's life in all this, your life. So I asked Kimball's permission to drop the whole investigation. Even though I was certain you were responsible. And that's how it's been until today. But this afternoon, the story got out. Now there's feeling in this town against you.
Well, what am I going to do?
You can pay back the favor I once did you. Leave town on the next train.
I'll leave, don't worry. But before I go, I want to take a look at those records. Those letters. Is that a bargain?
It's a bargain. I'll take you down to City Hall. Finished?
Yeah, that's all.
I have a note here to phone Kimball. Is it all right if I tell him you're leaving?
Oh, I'll leave after I speak to Anne.
I'll get it, Dad.
No, my dear, I'll get it. Hello?
Mr. Kimball, Chief Wharton.
Yes, Chief.
Find out where Steve is.
You called me earlier?
Yes, I wanted to know about that Lafarge boy.
Well, don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. He's leaving on the next train. You can consider the case closed.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Just a moment, Mr. Kimball. Hold the wire.
What about Steve?
Hello, Mr. Kimball. This is Lafarge.
Yes?
I'd like to speak to Anne.
Well, thank you, Chief. That's all I wanted to know.
Mr. Kimball, I've got to talk to her.
Goodbye, Chief. I'll be in touch with you.
But, Mr. Kimball...
That was Wharton. Nothing to worry about. The case is closed. Steve's leaving town.
Where is he now?
Wharton didn't say.
Steve sent no message?
No.
No. I guess I didn't really think he would.
Oh, you poor darling. What can I do?
Nothing, not a thing.
We'll go away, darling. Far away, where we can forget this whole business. Wouldn't you like that?
I suppose so.
Why don't we leave tonight? You go on upstairs and pack, and I'll phone about trains.
All right, then.
We'll have a real holiday together.
Steve!
I had to see you.
Who is it, dear?
I tried to talk to you on the phone from Chief Wharton's office. But your father hung up in my ear.
You were on the phone.
How dare you come here?
I told you, Mr. Kimball, I've got to talk to Ann.
Well, there's no time. Ann and I are going away. The train leaves in an hour, and we must both do some packing.
We'll not discuss that now.
Oh, yes, we will. We can be quite open about this, because you remember, Ann, you told me that you weren't like your mother.
That's true.
But you are like your mother, Ann. You are.
What?
Listen to me. I saw all of Wharton's records. Your mother never intended to go off and leave you. You don't know what your mother's like.
Steve, I saw the letters.
You only saw the ones your father wanted you to see.
Now, look here, look,
I've seen the others. Believe me, Ann, your mother cared more about you than anyone else in the world, including herself.
Steve.
If you don't believe me, come down to City Hall and take a look at the letters in Wharton's file.
Chief Wharton has them?
Your mother wouldn't leave without you. And if she left, your father threatened to take you away from her. That's why she stayed here, to keep you.
Ann was my daughter. All I had.
Then Mother did plan to take me with her.
No, she didn't. She said that to bait
me.
But
she did say it. She did.
She said a thousand things.
She wanted you with her, Ann. Even Jeff Hudson said that. I've read his letters, too.
But I saw Hudson's letters.
Not all of them. Did she, Mr. Kimball?
Well, the ones she didn't see were full of lies.
The ones I didn't see. Oh, why didn't I realize?
I kept those letters from you because I knew what kind of woman your mother was. And I'm not the only one who knew what she was. Every man she had anything to do
Father,
with...
Father, don't!
Look at her first husband. Look at Sam Buchanan.
And how did Sam Buchanan know what she was? You were the one who told him. You told him lies that destroyed her.
No, I told him the truth.
And your father told Buchanan some story that completely wrecked their marriage.
Dad, you didn't.
Why shouldn't I have told him? I knew what she was like, what she'd done.
Exactly what had she done?
Well, she'd married Buchanan. Wasn't that enough?
You poisoned Buchanan against her so that you could marry her. But once you'd done that and made her your wife, you hated her.
That's not true. I loved her, and she would have loved me in time.
No, you hated her. You must have hated her. It was you who killed my mother.
No, Anne, no.
She was murdered many times, day after day, long before the accident. Steve's arrow.
No.
Steve.
Yes, Anne?
Take me away from here. Please take me away.
Of course, darling. I've got a car outside.
Now, look here, Lafarge. If you think that...
Father, I couldn't go on living in this house.
No, Anne. You can't leave me. You can't.
I am leaving, Father. And I'm sorry. Very sorry.
Ann!
We went down the steps, away from the Kimball house. As I put Ann into the car, I realized all at once that we were free now. Both of us, free of the hatred which had enveloped both our lives. All the past... All the hatred was closed up in the Kimball house. For a moment, we heard Kimball at the piano. Great chords of rage crashed out through the tall windows. We left him there, in the empty house, alone with his hatred. And we've never gone back, Anne and I. We will never go back again.
Studio One of CBS, you have just heard Mr. Franchot Tone, starring in Fletcher Markle's production of The Kimballs by Mitchell Wilson, another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Agnes Eckhart, and the original musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Steve Lafarge
was played, of course, by Mr. Tone. Currently to be seen on the screen in the Columbia picture, I Love Trouble.
Anne Kimball
was played by Mercedes McCambridge.
Bennett Kimball
was Everett Sloan.
Martha Horn
was Miriam Wolfe.
Gus Buchanan
was Ian McAllister.
Chief Wharton
was played by Alan Debbitt. Actively assisting were Connie Lemke, Barbara Townsend, and Brainerd Duffield. Next week from Studio One, one of Dashiell Hammett's most graphic excursions into the underworld of two decades ago. Its subject, politics and women. Its title, The Glass Key. As for our stars next week, and there are two, we are fortunate to have the combined talents of Miss Alyssa Landy and Mr. Alan Baxter. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Alyssa Landy and Alan Baxter and The Glass Key, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
Tune in tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Harvest of Stars, the first broadcast in a new series of sparkling musical programs starring James Melton with Frank Black and the Harvest of Stars Orchestra and Chorus. Remember the Harvest of Stars tomorrow evening and every Wednesday evening at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.